Hello, Madera Church. So excited that we could gather together in homes scattered about. Perhaps you are on Zoom, or maybe you're in one of our home group locations. And this is officially our home group launch Sunday. And we're excited to encourage you to be a part of this. And realizing that we are choosing not to gather corporately all together as a big group, but to really help to show the priority for home groups for Madera Church. We believe that this is one of the key ways God will help us to be disciple makers, to disciple others, and to grow ourselves. And so today what I'd like to do is just give a brief word of encouragement from the Word, and then you're going to spend some time together. You're going to talk about the commitment of being in a home group and what that looks like. There's so many things that being a part of a home group does, and Scripture tells us the importance of relationships. And so we strategically want to raise the value, maybe compared to what you've seen in other places, of our home group ministry. I, again, am in one of my favorite places up here in Madera Canyon. And by now, you probably know that your pastor loves the outdoors. And one of the things I love to do is to come up here and to pray for you. It's a thing that I have learned from other people, but specifically studying the life of Jesus. He often withdrew from the crowds, even from his disciples, and would go to the mountains to pray, to be alone with the Father, to spend time in his presence. And so know that I do that frequently, and whenever I get the opportunity and find a cool old tree or something like that, I love to just be in God's creation and talk to him even out loud, and to bring him your needs and your cares as well as our church family grows, and I discover the areas that you could use just spiritual support in. And that's really what I want to talk a little bit about today. There's a lot of things that we could talk about when it comes to small group ministry. You as a person who is growing in your walk need someone that can keep you accountable, people that can come alongside you and help to bear the burdens or struggles that you might be going through. And to be able to celebrate together, to be able to spur one another on to love and good deeds, as we saw on Serve Sunday a couple weeks ago, to be able to do good works together so that God could receive the praise. We're called to take even communion together, to remember the sacrifice of Christ, and you'll do that in a little bit together as a small group in your home group setting. And so whether you are in the Zoom group today, or if you are in one of our future home group locations, I want to encourage you today to just realize the importance of home groups to not only Madera Church, but to your spiritual growth. And one of the key things that I think is possible through the home group ministry is keeping each other accountable and being authentic, being real with one another. And so I guess letting your guard down a little bit and giving people an opportunity to see the real you, even when it comes to your struggles and sin. Another thing that Scripture tells us is to confess our sins to one another. And that is not something that's super popular or something that we necessarily gravitate towards. And it's probably not something that's going to often happen on a big Sunday gathering. But my prayer is, as you get to know other people, that you become more and more able to take down the barriers that have kept you from being yourself and sharing your true struggles. God's Word tells us that we are called to bear one another's burdens. And oftentimes that doesn't happen because we hide what those burdens are. We hide those struggles. We don't share those sins. When you do life with other people, you have an opportunity to allow God to do what He has designed, to help the other people in the body of Christ, to help you in your journey, to help you in your walk. As you study Scripture together, you'll find areas that maybe you'll be challenged in, or areas that will cause you to need to change in some way. You're not called to do it alone. You have brothers and sisters in Christ who want to encourage you, keep you accountable, and even in some ways, as we'll see in Scripture today, bring you to Jesus, to allow the faith of the people that you're doing life with in your groups to strengthen you and to, in some cases, bring you to the feet of Jesus so that you can receive some of the spiritual healing that He offers in our lives. I have a couple, I guess, visual illustrations today. This is a sweatshirt that I really like. One that I love is from our last community. We were the Knoxville Blue Bullets, and so this was a sweatshirt from them. And a lot of people by now, probably would have thrown this sweatshirt away. I'm not sure if you can see from where I've got the camera set up there, but there are huge stains on the front of this shirt. And it took place, unfortunately, this is not the only time this ever happened to me, but we had a pool at our last house in Illinois for the kids, and it was a great way to have community come and have little celebrations at our home. But because I always like to save money, I took care of the pool on my own. And that meant using bleach to get all the pH levels correct and to get the levels set. And this one, I believe, happened when I was getting a bleach bottle off of a high counter to keep away from kids, and the lid wasn't on all the way, and so it splashed on me. So I have these bleach marks. Now, a lot of people would have thrown this shirt away once they got the stains on it. But to me, it still has value. It still serves its purpose. I'm not all about the outward appearance, as I think our culture tells us we should be. And so this stain is just a reminder to me. It's a good illustration of what we often do, even in the church. We will throw away or hide the fact that there are stains that exist. We will keep this in the closet. We won't tell anybody about it or show anybody. We surely won't wear it out in public. And much to my wife's dismay, I will still wear this shirt, stains and all. And my challenge is, as we look at Scripture today, for you to get to a place where you consider your home group a safe place for you to share the stains that exist in your life. To be real, to be authentic, to be honest, so that people can actually do the things that Scripture calls us to do as a body of believers, to bear one another's burdens, to understand what you're struggling with, to as they see the sin that exists in your life, to be people that are helping you to overcome it. Christ gives us the forgiveness, and we are redeemed through what He has done on our behalf. But part of God's plan is for us to do life with other people that will also take us to Him when we're struggling, and to pray for us, and to come alongside us in ways that will help us to get past that struggle, to overcome it together as a faith community. So that's my sweatshirt. Unfortunately, you think I would learn. This is not the only time that ever happened. I have another shirt that I still wear that has a similar stain from the same reason. I was cleaning out my pool and adding in the bleach, and this time I bent over to grab something over the rim of the pool. This was one of those above ground pools, and there was bleach still on the outside, and so there's bleach on the front of the shirt. I love this shirt, and I'm not going to throw it away. It is a Cub shirt, who, by the way, won their division this year. They didn't go much past that, but a lot of people would want to throw this shirt away because it's a Cub shirt. But the reality is, God is not wanting to throw us away because we have stains. He doesn't want to discard us. We still have value to Him. And part of His plan for us as a community of believers to overcome the struggles or maybe the sin that we have a propensity to return to put you in a faith community that will come alongside you to help you to grow, to help you to overcome that struggle. Only Jesus can provide the forgiveness and really work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. But He has placed people in our lives strategically to help us to bear one another's burdens. And we should be confessing those sins to one another so that God can work in our lives. And so let me say a word of prayer, and then we're going to get into the Word together and just see a story from Scripture, that a historical account of Christ teaching His disciples. And there's a couple things that happen in the story. We're going to see the primary lesson, an encouraging reminder that Jesus has the power to forgive our sins. Let's never forget that. And then I'm going to look at what I'll call a secondary lesson within this story. And I'm praying that this will help us as we embark on this adventure to do life together in home groups. So let's pray, and we'll look at the Word. Father, I just want to commit these groups to You. I'm so grateful for the people who have already stepped up to be a part of this new church family. And Lord, I pray that just even from the very beginning, as we go into this first series about being a church member, that You would allow us, God, to be able to truly just do life together, that we would encourage one another, that we would serve together, that we would allow people to see the stains in our life, so that we might be able to overcome them together with Your strength and with the support of other brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, I just ask now that as we look into your truth, that you would be with us, that the Holy Spirit would be the one who does the teaching, and that as we endeavor, Lord, to be a church family who's authentic, that you would help us to represent you well in that way. And so teach us through the life of Jesus and his words, and help us to represent you well in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, if you guys have Bibles, you're more than welcome to go along with me through the scripture. I'll try to put them on the screen for you as well. But we're going to start in what is, I think, a familiar passage. We're going to see it in two different Gospels, both in Matthew and in Mark. And it's the story of the paralyzed man who receives healing. And as I said earlier, I think that there are two lessons. There's more than that, really, but two primary lessons that I want us to look at today. One that is the main truth of this passage, that Jesus has the power and the authority to forgive sins. And the secondary lesson that I want us to see, maybe you'll see it as we read through, is that there is something powerful about the faith of others who are doing life with us, that God can recognize that and use it in some ways even to help us to receive the healing that God wants for us. So let's look at Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 1. Jesus climbed into a boat and went back across the lake to his own town. Some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Be encouraged, my child, your sins are forgiven." So right out of the gate, Jesus deals with the real problem. Everyone else sees the problem as the physical healing that needs to take place. Jesus recognizes that there's a bigger problem that exists, that there's a cleansing of our spiritual side that needs healing, that the forgiveness of sins is a bigger deal than the forgiveness of an ailment. Everyone has different things that come into their life, and it's pretty normal for us to pray for healing for the sickness or the disease or the whatever it is that we have. That's human nature. But I love the way that Jesus draws our attention to the eternal need, the fact that we can receive forgiveness of sins that will enable us to spend eternity with him. We all, at some point in this physical life journey, unless the Lord comes, are going to see the end of that journey, that physical journey. And so even though we may receive physical healing from a sickness or a disease or an ailment, eventually we will die. Eventually we all will go before our Maker. And the only thing that will enable us to have that relationship with Him, to have the forgiveness of sins that enables us to be in communion with God, is through the forgiveness of Jesus that's made possible through His death and resurrection. And so Jesus is drawing us to this reality that the more important healing is the healing of the forgiveness of our sins, not the physical ailment. But I'll back up to verse 2. Some people brought him a paralyzed man on a mat, thinking that that was the main problem. Seeing their faith, pay attention to that, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Be encouraged, my child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of the religious law said to themselves, "That's blasphemy. Does he think he's God?" Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." The man jumped up and went home. Fear swept through the crowd as they saw this happen, and they praised God for sending a man with such great authority. The true lesson in this passage is what we've already articulated and talked through, that Jesus has the authority to forgive sins. He has the power and the authority to forgive our sins. And I don't want to miss that, because we're going to turn to a secondary lesson, I think, within this passage. But the main lesson in the passage that we've just read is that Jesus Christ has the authority to forgive us of our sins. And that's even bigger than any physical healing that he could ever do. But to prove that he has that authority, he also heals this man of his ailment, the fact that he's able to get up and walk and live life the way that his body was truly designed. And we could get into a whole another discussion about how the brokenness in this world, disease and sickness, is really a result of sin in the first place. But he makes this man whole again, but not just whole in his ability to walk. He makes him whole in his ability to be forgiven of his sin so that now he can have a relationship with God. But the secondary teaching that I want us to see is that it was the faith of the friends that Jesus calls out and recognizes in the midst of this situation. He says, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man. So these friends believed that Jesus could work on their friend's behalf. And so they made huge efforts to get them to Jesus. And we don't really see it in this particular passage, but if we turn to Mark chapter 2, he gives us a lot more details of what happens in this particular account. And so let's jump over to Mark chapter 2. We find the same story, but with a little more detail. The same lessons are within this story as well. I love it. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, remember that's where his hometown is, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. Now, this gives us a little more information that helps us to realize that Jesus is seeing that these friends are willing to do whatever it takes to get their buddy to the feet of Jesus. And Jesus recognizes that. And just as we saw in the previous passage in Matthew, in verse 5 he says, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. Again, if we go on, we're going to find that the same truth of this passage, that this is all about the authority and power that Jesus has to forgive sins. But I want to see the secondary lesson again, that Jesus calls out the faith of the friends to get them there. Now, they could have said, sorry, buddy, we can't get you there. There's too many people around Jesus. Let's try another day. Let's come back later. But they were going to do whatever it took to get their friend to Jesus. And he needed that healing. And so they knew that Jesus was the one that could heal. And so they did whatever it took to get him to that place. And as you do life together in home groups, I want you to realize that sometimes the faith of the community that God has placed you in will be what God uses to take you to Jesus when you are struggling, when you allow those stains to take over in your life and you focus so much on them that you're not allowing God to heal you. Sometimes our friends can see that from the outside and they can encourage us and they can bear our burdens with us and they can challenge us to confess those sins maybe that we are stuck in and help us to get back into a right standing with the Lord by confessing those sins to Him, by owning that we're falling short and by doing life together. And so as you embark in these home groups together, I want you to really take this to heart, to realize that it's a spiritual reality that Jesus points out that we do faith with other people. Yes, our salvation is based on our faith alone in Jesus alone and what He's done on our behalf. But there is something special in Scripture that Jesus calls out of doing faith with others. And the faith of these friends is what was enabled this man to come to the feet of Jesus. So maybe you have a friend that you need to begin to pray for. And there's so many different ways that we could look at this and bring spiritual truth out of it. But my challenge for us is to realize that life with others matters. Life with others can impact you for eternity as well, especially if you have someone who's not yet a Christ follower. It's okay for them to be in your group and struggle with what they have going on in their life, and they can see your faith, and that can be what takes them to Jesus as well, so that they can receive the true healing of the forgiveness of their sins. Probably a lot of us have had different home group experiences. Maybe you've been in a group that wasn't a good fit for you and some personalities kept it from being all that it could be. And the reality is we're broken. We all have stains. And I hope that our groups get to a place where you're able to share those things so that you can work through them. You can have people keeping you accountable. But maybe you're just going through a really difficult season and something's going on in your life that just seems overwhelming. To have a community of believers that are praying for you and alongside you in that is also a powerful thing. One of my memories and fondest memories is a small group that I was in Bloomington, Illinois. Megan and I led this group, and we had others that would take turns leading as well. And we became a very close group of people. And in fact, I was just messaging a couple of my friends about some of the fun memories we had in that group just this last week on Facebook. But I can recall one of the most difficult seasons that that group went through was also one of the ones where I saw the most spiritual growth myself. And we, without giving the whole story, I'll probably share it at some point, we had a friend in that group who had a major health issue. And I can remember, literally, I can remember months, maybe more than a year, when it came to time with prayer requests. And we would do it a little bit different. We would have the guys separate from the girls and share our prayer requests and pray for one another. I can remember my friend Phil never really had any requests. He would always just kind of say, you know, things are going great. Things are going well. I'm sure there'll be a time when I'm going to need it, but right now there's nothing. And that went on for months until we found out about his wife, Shannon, who had a brain aneurysm the size of a lemon in the middle of her brain. They had four little kids, and they had to struggle with what decisions to make, what doctors to utilize, if she should receive surgery or not, because it's a very high-risk surgery. And I can tell you that that season of coming alongside my friends who were going through a very difficult time helped me to grow in my faith when it came to my prayer life. I prayed for them fervently and in ways that as a young pastor I had not experienced before, and really got to see the blessing that comes from praying not just for yourself but for others. And as a community of believers, we really grew. But I love seeing the whole church rally around Shannon and support her. But I can tell you without a doubt, it was our small group that was the closest, encouragement and support in that time. We would bring them meals. We would take their kids to all the different places they needed to go before and after the surgery. Phil didn't have a cell phone, even though it was, 2012, or I don't remember what year it was, but and so we worked together to buy him a cell phone package. He said, Phil, you need a phone right now. Your wife's going through this. We're going to get you one. And so just taking care of practical needs, but being the ones that were praying for them as she was in the hospital with a 12-hour surgery, being there and just going through a very difficult season. And we didn't know if she was going to make it. There was a high chance that she might not. And I can remember just coming alongside that family. And Shannon did make it. She's still a thriving mom of four, loving on her kids. And I've actually shared, and maybe we'll share some interviews of her neurosurgeon, who was a believer, and some really neat things on that as well. But that was just one of many, many examples of a home group coming together in a way that we supported and encouraged one another. And my faith grew as a result of watching Shannon and Phil depend on the Lord and go into that knowing full well that God's will would play out. If you would, look with me to Galatians chapter 6. In this passage, we'll wrap up with this today, just a final reminder of this challenge to be real, to get to a place where you're showing those stains so that God can work and help you to overcome those struggles or those burdens in your life. This is chapter 6 of Galatians, verse 1. Dear brothers and sisters, literally this is dear brothers, if a man. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer, I love the way that the New Living Translation captures the way that the Greek and the context is coming forward here. This is to everyone. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer, and within the context, we believe this is other Christ followers. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, You who are godly, or literally spiritual, should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. Part of our role as a community of believers is to do this very thing. And this probably isn't going to happen much in a large group setting, but it can happen as we are meeting in home groups and getting to know people at a more intimate level. Some of the, as I study this, some of the things that come to the surface, this is how we should come alongside people, not if. This is not a question of if, it's how. So look at it with me. If another believer is overcome by some sin, whatever that sin might be, someone in your group is struggling with something and they are authentic enough to share it, you who are spiritual or godly should, not if, but how, should gently and humbly help that person. Literally, help is to restore, to get them back to a place where they're in a good relationship with God and they're able to do what you're doing with other believers. Restore that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptations yourself as you're helping them. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Love people with all that you are, like you love God with all that you are. Love others as yourself. And so share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. When we bear the burdens of others, the sin struggle that they're going through, to help keep them accountable to get past that, or like in my friend Shannon and Phil's case, as they're going through a really difficult season in life, to bear that burden, to help with meals and childcare and phone calls and prayers and everything else that entails. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. Be the type of person that God is calling you to be by loving others in that way, putting the needs of others above yourself. I believe this can happen in small groups. And if you right now are thinking, you know what, I can't stand small groups. I've been in small groups. They don't work. I've been in messy ones, and life is messy. Everybody in that group has these stains, like that shirt that I showed earlier, that we hide, that we keep hidden. I want you to be able to be in a community of people that don't hide those things anymore. But maybe it's even at a lower level, even a smaller group. You know, if you remember Jesus, he had his 12 disciples, but then he had even a smaller core group that he really revealed truth to. Maybe God wants to take your home group and that just another person or two is that you are keeping accountable and really being honest with. If you think that it's not for you, you think that, you know what, I don't need that. Let me read this next verse to you. You need other people, and we're called to bear each other's burdens. And it's probably not going to happen in a Sunday gathering experience, but I believe it will begin to happen in our home groups and as we get even smaller together. If you think you are too important to help someone, if you think, you know, I'll translate here. If you think you are, this is my interpretation, too important to bear the burden of others, to make life about other people and not just yourself. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Man, the scriptures really hits us hard on that, because sometimes don't we make life about ourselves, about faking that everything is okay in our life and not intervening on behalf of others when we see them struggle. We hope to create an environment at Madera Church that will allow for you to do life with other people. And so that's what we're going to explore this morning. And so I encourage you, this is just the beginning of us talking about the things that will come to fruition through a home group ministry. But I'm so grateful that you have time together now to explore a little bit of the commitment that you're making by being in a home group and also doing what Scripture tells us. And celebrating communion together, remembering the sacrifice of Christ within the fellowship of other Christ followers. And so have a blessed week, church. Don't be afraid to show those stains. Get to a place where you're bearing each other's burdens together. Let's pray. Father God, we want to be your church, not just gathering together to worship you through song and hearing from your truth, which is important and which I love, but God, I pray that you would help us to be willing to do life together as well. Lord, that we could be there for each other when we're struggling, maybe when we're going through a trial or a difficult season or suffering Or perhaps, Lord, it's just helping each other to own the sin that exists in our life and keeping each other accountable to overcome it. Lord, getting into your word together and talking about it and letting it fill us up so that we live your truth. Lord, we commit these home groups to you. We ask that you would allow them to be a place where you receive all the glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have an awesome Sunday, groups. I love you guys. Bye.
Hey, everybody. This is Link Breyer, the director of the home groups here at Madeira Church. And man, I am so excited that we are finally all sitting in somebody's living room and growing in relationships. And I really, really appreciated Pastor Bill emphasizing in his excellent message, authenticity, and really getting to know each other on a deeper level. And so to kind of foster that and encourage that, the next couple steps that I'm asking all of our home group leaders to do is share the home group covenant, which basically is just some guidelines for how to make these groups safe, confidential, intentional, and a place where consistent environment of spiritual growth can happen. So they're going to walk through that with each of the groups now. And then we're going to do something which I think is so important. Not only are we reminding ourselves of the value of small groups, but we're also going to remind each other of the central point of why we do home groups, which is to grow in our relationship with Christ. We're going to remember what he did on the cross by celebrating the Lord's Supper. So that's what you can look forward to the remainder of the evening. And I hope that each of you just walks away from tonight making a new friend and being excited about what God's going to do in this ministry. God bless.